3:16, please. Well, actually, John 3:14. And I like to read, actually, I should read from 11 through 21, but that's the law. The Lord directed me to read the 14th through the 18th verses of John 3. And you can certainly follow along if you want to. You can read along with me. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. For he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Would you turn with me, please, to Genesis, the first chapter? I'm going to read two scriptures for you and have you read along with me, if you will. And then I'm going to ask you a couple of questions, okay? In Genesis, the first chapter, and we'll go right straight to verse 29, and I'd like for you to read that with me in whatever translation you might have. You ready? And God said, "Behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of the earth, and every tree in which is the fruit of the tree yielding seed to you, it shall be for meat." Who is God speaking to? Who was he speaking to? He was speaking to his man, Adam. Okay, now go with me to the 12th chapter of Genesis, please. Genesis, the 12th chapter, and we're going to read together verse 2. "And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing." Who was he speaking to here? Abram. Okay, he hadn't become Abraham yet. He was Abram. Okay. What is the difference between those two verses? What's the difference between those two verses? I'm sorry, say it. I heard it. Yeah, one he gave and one he... Okay. One he blessed, okay? The title of my message for today is Promises, Provisions, and Patience. And then last night, I woke up in the middle of the night and the Lord said, "You forgot one P." And I said, "What's that, Lord?" He said, "My presence." I said, "Okay, I'll let him know tomorrow." I didn't write it down, but it's part of the whole thing. When I was a very young girl, my mother made very few promises to my brother and me. But interestingly enough, as poor as we were, her provisions were always abundant. She didn't make you any promises, but the provisions were always abundant. You've heard the story of the yellow eyelet dress many times. And as I think back over it, I was 12 years old, and I believe that that was the last item that my mother ever bought me or as a child, because I went to work and did some things for myself. Okay. She made a statement to me that day when she saw me looking at that dress and really almost drooling over it. And she said, "Sarah, I want you to have everything that you desire, but I just want you to know Mama can't give it to you." And she said, "Because you have champagne taste and I have a beer pocketbook." Think about that. She said, "You have champagne taste, 12, and I have a beer pocketbook, but I want you to have everything that you want, that you're willing to work for, to acquire." So at 12 years of age, Mother established the boundaries for me that I could have anything I wanted as long as I was willing to work for it. And the only limitation I ever put on myself was if they only made one. If they made one, then it belonged to that owner. But if they made two, the second one could belong to me if I was willing to make the necessary sacrifices and work to obtain it. So what I want to bring across to you today, if possible, is to understand the difference between giving or given versus promises. I want you to understand that sometimes you're going to have to exercise patience. I could have gotten that jacket back in January. I could have gotten it, you know, for the price that she was selling it for then. But something checked me on the inside and said, don't even try it on, because if you try it on, you know it's yours and you're going to take it home. And I would have taken it home at that price. But because I was willing to wait a month later and just happened to ask, did you sell it yet? And she said, no, why don't you just go ahead and take it and pay me for it later? And I said, well, I need to come out and try it on to make sure that it fits, because I don't want you to ship it to me, then it doesn't work. What am I trying to say to you this morning? Adam was given everything that he would ever need. And he was also given a will to make choices. Well, so have we. We have been given everything that we will ever need through the second Adam. And we've been given a choice that we don't have to have it right this minute. We need to have a green light from in our spirits. Adam knew nothing at all of faith. He never had to believe God for anything. Stop and think about that. Everything Adam needed, including his wife, a life, God provided. He did not have to use his faith ever, okay? And yet, Abram was never going to receive anything from God without using his faith. Wasn't going to get a thing from God without using his faith. God made him some wonderful promises, but he wasn't going to get to enjoy one of them without exercising his faith. Let's take a look at the scripture in 1 Kings, the 8th chapter. Just stop and think about it. If Adam had not disobeyed God, we would not have to be using faith today, folks, because everything would have been provided for us. I'm going to have a conversation with that brother when I get to heaven. Because while my faith works, and I'm not sure whether it's been better for me to use my faith or to have had God give it to me, I kind of think that there are times that I wasn't so certain that my faith was going to provide it for me. But in the 8th chapter of 1 Kings, and we're going to look at verse 56, I believe. I want you to read that with me, please. Blessed be the Lord that has what? Given rest unto his people Israel, according to all that he promised. Okay. He promised them something, but he still had to give it to them. He promised them rest. He's promised us peace. He's promised us abundance. He promised us that he would meet every need. But we have to possess it, as someone shared in a class this morning. It says, blessed be the Lord that has given rest unto his people. Are his people at rest? Uh-uh. Most of them are not. But he did it according to all that he had promised. There hath not failed one word of all of his good promise, which he promised by the hand of his servant Moses. That's what he was doing for the Israelites, okay? Let's look at Romans, the 4th chapter. You know where I'm going there. Romans, the 4th chapter and the 21st verse. It reads, talking about Abraham now, okay. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform. Why? Because verse 19 says, he wasn't weak in faith. He considered not his own body, now dead when he was about 100 years old, and yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. If you pay attention to what's going on around you and what the prognosticators say and what the forecasters say and all, you will never step out on faith in something that God is, as Renee shared. So when God told me to talk to this building, call this building into this ministry, I didn't know of anybody that called buildings in or talked to it without, and as Pastor Greg said, still walking around on the outside. There are some things that God will ask you to do that if you don't do it fully persuaded, you could end up in a psych ward because nobody else has ever done it. But somebody had to do it first. So, Abram says here, it says about him, and being fully persuaded that he was he who had, that, I'm sorry, what he had promised, he was able to perform. Abram's talking about God. If God promised it, he's able to perform it. We would not be fit for anything today if God gave us everything that we wanted. I remember Pastor Clinton did a message years ago after he got healed of the dissecting aneurysm. It was trespassing, sickness forbidden. And he talked about another scripture. He says, it's almost a curse to receive things without using your faith, because he didn't have to do anything to get healed of the dissecting aneurysm. I mean, God just supernaturally did that. The doctors told him, Mr. Utterbach, if you need this operation and you have a 50-50 chance of survival if you have it. And we were brand new at this. We hadn't even gone to Rhema at the time, or just come back from Rhema, I don't recall now. No, we hadn't even gone to Rhema. Clinton looked this man smooth in the face, and he said, well, since I only have a 50-50 chance, I think I'll take God's 50. And he refused the operation. And he walked out of that hospital a week or so later, never having had the operation for the dissecting aneurysm. And years later, he went back to the doctor to check, you know, check some other things out. And what had happened was his aneurysm, his aorta, had balloon size and was about to burst. And they wanted to go in and insert a Dacron tube and all into it. And he just said, no, if I only have a 50-50 chance, I'm going to take my 50 with God. And he didn't have it done. But what happened was, you could see the split in the aorta, but somehow the blood turned back inside of his body. Instead of bursting from growing, it turned back inside and began to coagulate and heal itself. And all you saw was the scar where it had started to split. I didn't know anybody had ever done anything like that either, but praise God. He was persuaded that if I'm only going to have a 50-50 chance of survival with this, I want to trust God. I want to be fully persuaded that God will either do, because if God is not going to heal me, then I don't want to serve him. I won't go any further with him. And so this is the only way I know. I can't have the operation and then say, God healed me. No. God used a doctor to work out some things for you. But we knew the things that God, that time we weren't certain, but we suspected that the things that God was going to be asking us to do, no man was going to be able to get credit for. We could not have intervention by man at all. And that's not to put anybody in condemnation. If you feel that you need to go through with the operation, go through with it. But I'm here to tell you today at 74 that I've never had any kind of operation. I've never had a broken bone. I've never, and it's been almost, other than when I was in the hospital 2 weeks ago, I mean 2 years ago, I have not had medication in my body in over 50 years now. And I'm doing better than I've ever been. So when I answer people on the broadcast or even in real life. When they ask me, how are you doing? I said, I've never been better in my life. Well, I've added to that, but I'm going to be. So as good as it's been, it's going to get better. I said, it's going to get better. Why? Because I'm fully persuaded that God doesn't have enough laborers out here willing to trust him to do what he's telling them to do. They keep coming up with excuses and all. And I have made up in my mind that I'd rather die than disappoint God. But the only way that I'm going to know that God is who he's greater, my Father is greater than all, is I have to go all the way with him, giving nobody else credit for anything. Okay? Go with me to 2 Corinthians, the first chapter, please. There's nothing like having this kind of confidence in God. You sleep well at night. You're not concerned yourself with the newscast reports and things like that. 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, and we're going to look at verse 20. I'm sorry, 2 Corinthians. I'm sorry, thank you. 2 Corinthians, the first chapter. 2 Corinthians, the first chapter. And verse 20. For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him, amen. That means in Christ, I now have access to the provisions that he gave to Adam, the giving, but I also have the promises that he made to Abraham. So in Jesus Christ, I get the best of both worlds. I get the giving and I get the provisions. I don't have to make it happen, okay? Rooted and grounded in Christ will make you confident and content. When you're rooted and grounded in Jesus Christ and you understand what Calvary really represents, and thank God, several years ago, God told me you want me to take communion every day, because I am forced in taking communion every day to remember. I do this in remembrance of him. Well, what did he do? This bread is symbolic of his broken body, and this grape juice is symbolic of his shed blood. And what did they represent? They represented my total freedom. They represented my absolute healing. They represent my victory in finances. I don't have to concern myself with poverty. I have been redeemed from the curse of the law so that the blessings of Abraham can come on me. Well, all I have to do is go back and look at what the blessings that God promised Abraham. And then I see in Christ Jesus here in this verse, it says, all the promises of God are yes, and in him, amen, or so be it, unto the glory of God. What? By us. Okay. God's only going to get glory when his children absolutely believe his promises and his provision. He's not just willing, he is able, folks, to do every single promise. And if you go through this Bible, you will understand the many promises that God has made. Go with me, please, to 2 Peter, the first chapter. I know I'm having you look at a lot of scriptures, but the more scriptures you look at, the more confident you're going to become in what's available to you. And you're not standing around wondering, oh, I don't know, maybe is out of my vocabulary. I either know it's going to be God or it's not going to be God. In 2 Peter, the first chapter and verse 4. Well, I'll start at verse 3. According as his divine power hath, what does hath mean? Past tense, right? Has given unto us all things. How many things? All things that pertain unto life and godliness. How? Through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. You have to get the knowledge of Jesus Christ, the one who's called you to virtue and glory. You have to get that knowledge in order to understand that all things that pertain to life and godliness have already been given to me, whereby are given unto us by this knowledge, of Jesus Christ. They've been given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. You don't have to lust after anything. You follow after Jesus and you believe in his body and his shed blood and what has been, and you examine yourself on a regular basis and you repent for the sins that we repent for the sins that we do, because I miss it once in a while. Not very often. I can tell you one thing, I don't stay out there very long. Soon as the Holy Spirit convicts my heart, honey, this kid fixes it right then and there. I'm not ashamed to say I missed it. Please forgive me. Give me another chance. Holy Ghost, I need your help. Because if I'd called on him prior to my missing it, I would have never missed it in the first place. See, we keep trying a lot of things without including the Holy Spirit first. And then when we mess up, I'm like, man, I've been a Christian for umpteen years. I shouldn't have done that. No, you shouldn't, but you should have also called on the Holy Ghost to give you the grace to get through that situation and that day. Why we are so reluctant to call on the Holy Spirit and include him in every single choice that we make, in everything that we do, concerning everything. He wants us totally victorious. But he also knows that if we are victorious in everything without including him, we won't call on him to help us. And Jesus sent him to be the helper, to provide for us all that we need. Our gift was given to us. They are exceeding, they're great, they're precious, and they were promised. But they were promises with a provision. They were promises with a provision. What was the provision? That we might not, that we must be partakers of his divine nature. Not we might be partakers of his divine nature, that we must be partakers of his divine nature. Listen. Causing us to escape the world's corruption. When we take his nature, we don't lust after the world's corruption. When we take on the nature of Christ, we do not lust after anything this world has available. I did not lust after that jacket. I saw it. I admired it. I liked it. But I also knew that I could walk away from it. I don't care whether it's cigarettes, automobile, anything. You can't walk away from it, baby. You're lusting after it. I said, if you can't walk away from it, you're lusting after it. And anything that you're lusting after, God's not going to be in the middle of it. He does not mind us desiring things. That jacket was not a desire of my heart. Like I said, I saw it. It was pretty. I liked it. But it wasn't going to change the price of rice in China one bit for me. If I never got it. When I called her up a month later, somebody had purchased it, I would have gone on to the next thing and said, okay, there's another one out there for me. We have to understand, we have to measure our want to and our willingness and our must have on anything and everything that we see, anything that we experience. We have to see how is it affecting us. Because God, the one thing that God gave us that he is not going to violate is our will. He will let us pursue anything and anybody that we want to. But are we doing his best? Are we after his best? And I only want to pursue what God's will is for me. So that's why my confession these days is, God, not my will, but yours be done. Because I found out every single time that he wants more for me than I had nerve enough to even ask for myself. He has provided for me much more than I would have ever dreamed that I was about to have. Okay? or could have even asked him for. When we take his nature, we don't lust after the world's corruption. He and he alone fills us to satisfaction. We don't want something different, and we don't want something more. He fills us with satisfaction and settles us in on his promises and his provisions. 5 to 7 years ago, when I was 5 or 7 years old, my mother, the church was going on a picnic that Tuesday, in the middle of the week. Well, my mother was a domestic worker, and she only made $3.25 a day. And she didn't promise my brother and me that she was going to take us, but it was kind of implied that we were going to go with the church that day. Well, when I woke up that Tuesday morning, Mother wasn't to be found anywhere. I assumed that Mother had gone to work and we weren't going to go picnic. And I just cried and cried and cried and cried. And then all of a sudden, I heard this familiar voice humming in the backyard. And it was Mother. And I said, "I thought you had gone to work." She said, "No, I'm not working today. We're going to the beach with the church." Now, you have to understand, there was no overtime. There was no, what's the days we extend to our employees? No, not vacation. Compensation, thank you. There was none of that. You miss going to work, you miss getting paid. What Mother had done that morning was the stores were opening at 9 o'clock. She had gotten up and gone down to the stores with the money she earned the day before, because the only way she could have gotten me a new bathing suit, or a bathing suit is my first one, and my brother a pair of trunks, was to work for that $3.25 the day before. So she wanted to be there, get it, get back home in time to take us up to the church. To, and mind you, no car, you got to walk to get on the bus to go to the beach. That left such an impression on me, because I remember that Mother had to work the day before to get the money to buy the bathing suit and the trunks. And the day that she took us to the picnic, she didn't work. $6.50 was all that it represented, really. But it left an impression on me that my mother loved her two children so much that she was willing to take one day's pay to get them swimwear and then another day off from work to take them on the picnic. You talk about impressions. You'd be surprised at the impressions that we leave with people, but that's an impression that's been with me for 67 years now, that Mother was willing to lose 2 days' pay to have a day out with her children. What kind of sacrifices are we making? What kind of choices are we making to make our children feel that? I began to feel valuable and important, and I told you, my self-worth started very early in life. My net worth came later, and today my self-worth is still worth more, or is more valuable to me than my net worth. Okay. Mother had to earn the $3.25 to buy the swimwear, and she took the day off to make the purchase. Yet she never made a promise to us where either was concerned, but she gave us. So in Christ Jesus, I've learned that I can have both the promises and the gifts as long as I'm obedient to what he tells me to. As I said, Mother seldom promised, but she would occasionally surprise us with provisions that she knew would delight us. Well, I found out my Father God does the same thing. I said, my Father God does the same thing. He doesn't make me promises anymore. But every once in a while, he'll come up with a Lollapalooza or humdinger that he knew would delight me. It wasn't that it was even a desire of my heart. But, hey, some things you're just not going to turn down. And the way God operates with me He likes to delight me because he found out that I seek him first and his kingdom. I am delighted in him primarily. I'm interested in what pleases him, and consequently, he provides me with things every once in a while that he thinks, my kid might enjoy that. Don't you do that for your children and your grandchildren? Do you always wait for them to ask you for something? No. Sometimes you just because your grandma or your grandpa or your mom or your dad, you just go out and do it. Well, Father God operates exactly the same way. He gave to Adam. He promised to Abraham. But in Jesus, we get both the gifts and the provisions and the promises. Hallelujah. Go with me, please, to Psalm 37. Psalm, the 37th chapter. Are you getting anything out of this? I'm trying to help you just learn to relax in Jesus and don't get uptight about it. Was that expression in Blindside? Don't get your panties in a wad. Don't get your panties in a wad about everything. Just let God. Let God bless you. Surprise you every once in a while. And I'm telling you, you'll never forget it, okay? In Psalm 37, we're going to look at, I think we want to look at verse 7. Well, we'll go to verse 5 and then verse 7. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Verse 7. Rest in the Lord and do what? Wait patiently for him. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his ways, because the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Don't look at what somebody else is getting, what somebody else is doing. Rest in the Lord. Do what is right by him. Commit your ways, commit your pleasures, commit your excitement, commit your joy, everything to the Lord. And then enter into his rest. And when you and I do, then we have to wait patiently. That's why the message was promises, provisions, and patience. Because sometimes God's trying to get the provisions that he has promised to us, but we want them yesterday. We're unwilling to wait patiently for them. Trust God and do good. Okay? Adam was given. Abram got nothing without using his faith, but in Christ we are both given and promised and provided. What does this result in? 1 John, the second chapter, please. 1 John, the second chapter. I'm trying to paint a picture for you here today. First John, the second chapter. Bless you. 1 John, the second chapter, and we're going to look at verse 25, I believe. Yeah. And this is the promise that he has promised us, what? Eternal life. Everything else, if it's not culminating in eternal life, then Jesus is not in it. Because he will give us the promises, and he will also give us the provisions. And if we are patient, and we should be patient, one day we're going to have the eternal life. I'm going to wrap it up with these two verses, I believe, in Hebrews, the 10th chapter. Hebrews, the 10th chapter, and we're going to look at verse 36 first, and then we're going to go back to verse 35. For you have need of patience. You hear me say it all the time. That after you have done the will of God, after you become a doer, okay? After you have done the will of God, not your will, not my will, not your mate's will, not your children's will, not your in-law's will, not your outlaw's will. After you've done the will of God, you have need of patience that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promises. I'm here to tell you, you will receive the promises. And you know why we don't receive them? Look at verse 35. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. We keep chunking away. Keep chunking away the confidence that God has given us in the provision. Look back over your life. Do you really think that you have what you have today? You are who you are today because of your doings? No. God provided it, and he also promised it in Christ Jesus. But you and I have need of patience, that after we've done his will, not ours, then we can obtain anything that he has promised us. God is, it's not that he's just standing around or just sitting on his throne doing nothing. He is constantly aware of how he can be a blessing to us. He's excited. He's ecstatic about being a blessing to his children. He loves us. I said he loves us. He wants us to be happy, but he doesn't want us to be happy with anything that will drive us away from him or interfere with our role in his, him in our lives. If we can manage the gifts and we can manage the promises, God says, you can have it, baby. But when it interrupts your love for me, your time with me, and your willingness to set aside everything and everybody but me, I can't let you have that because you'll make a God out of it. And I said, there is no God like your God. So why should I give you something that's going to interfere with that? Okay. Proverbs, the 16th chapter. I have a couple of more minutes. Yeah. Proverbs, the 16th chapter. Proverbs, the 16th chapter, and we're going to take a look at verse 7. When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. That's a given. That's not just a promise. That is a given. All right, now quickly run back over to 1 Thessalonians with me. I know I have you all over the place today, but I want you to see how God supports both his provisions and his promises. We just need to add some patience to some of these things. In, what did I say, 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter. 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, and the first verse reads, furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you, how? By the Lord Jesus, that you have received of us. What did we get? What have we received? When you receive something, is it a gift? Is it a gift, or did you work for it? It's a gift, okay? That you have received of us how you ought to walk and to please God, so that you would do what? Abound more and more. Now, that's a promise. Once you receive from Jesus Christ through us what you're supposed to do, your part, then you can expect to abound more and more, but you got to please God. You got to walk with God. You can't just ignore and do what you, the parts that you wanted to do. It says, furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, Paul had direction from the Lord to share that. To exhort you by the Lord Jesus Christ, by the Lord Jesus, that as you have received of us, now that means you got to receive what I share from the Word of God. How you ought to walk, there's absolutely no reason for either of us to stumble and to please God. That should be your goal every day. That's a duty of a believer, to walk before God and be pleasing to him. When we do, what's going to happen for us? Come on, come on, come on. We're going to abound more and more, okay? If you're not abounding, and you know what abound means, okay? If you're not abounding, darling, it's because you're not walking and being pleasing to God. Because I can guarantee you, if you walk pleasing to him and pleasing to him, there is absolutely nothing that your little heart could desire that he hasn't already thought up for you already. He's just waiting for you to line up with putting him in first place. Put the priority on him, and he'll take it from there. So given the word on how to please God in order to abound more and more is a provision. Okay? We're given the word, but the purpose of being given the word is so that we'll be pleasing to God and abound more and more. More and more is the provision. Okay? I told you how favor, well, I didn't tell it to you today, but Proverbs, the third chapter, I often quote it on the air, how I have favor with God and man. And it's true. I do. That jacket, that was favor. That was favor. I don't care how you put it. But I want you to see this because some of you don't honestly understand that you don't have to strive for and work for everything. You certainly don't have to work 2 and 3 jobs to get it. Well, the third verse, third chapter, starting with verse 1, says, "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they do what?" Is add a given? Okay. "Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them on the table of thine heart. And so shalt thou find favor." That's a given. "Great favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man." People call me all the time, "I've got to go to court." They say, "Sweetheart, you can have favor with God and the judge. You don't have to settle for just favor with one or the other." So make sure that you are doing the previous things that God said to do, okay? Divine favor and human favor are both available to us. I told you about how I got the birthday jacket. Was it 2 weeks ago, Dolores, that Friday before last, when I went down to Ocean City, you know that I've been going now to this particular condo for about 3 or 4 years now. And beautiful, beautiful condo, right on the boardwalk, right on the beach. This time when Dolores called for the keys for me, we had called for the keys before, but she had to go to Holland, I think it was, her father came under attack. And anyway, when she came back and she had to kind of overnight the keys to me because I'd left a jacket down there, she said to Dolores, she said, "This is a 3-bedroom, 3-bath, full kitchen, huge living room, huge balcony." She said to Dolores, "Pastor Sarah needs her own set of keys." Every time I go down there, I'm thinking, well, do I need to buy a condo? I'm down here so much. Do I need to invest? And then I think about all the times that I won't be using it, that it's got to be cared for, and I'm never going to rent it out to anybody. So I'm thinking, forget that. I'll just pay what I need to for this. She said, "Pastor Sarah," did she say it, Didi? She said, "Pastor Sarah needs her own set of keys." Now, if you don't think that's favor, folks, there are people sleeping on the street. And this lady is offering me keys to her condo. And she don't know whether I'm going to go down there when she's not home or not. Of course, I never would. If I decide to go, she's just tired of having to mail them to me because I go down there so much. So she said, "Give Pastor Sarah." So when I came back this time, I said, "Okay, Dolores, find out from her if I'm supposed to send this set back or am I supposed to keep it?" She told Dolores, "Tell her to keep it. Just let me know when she's ready to go down. So she'll tell me the cost, and I'll use my keys." I like that arrangement. I didn't have to sign on the dotted line with anybody. I did not have to pay I don't have to pay monthly maintenance. I don't have to pay mortgages. I don't do anything. I can just simply pick up the telephone, or better, I can email and say, "I'd like to go down. Are you going down this Friday and Saturday, or are you going down this Tuesday?" Because sometimes I could leave at Sunday after church and go down. I don't have to wait for her to send me the keys anymore. Glory to God, if you don't think that's favor. Why? Because I conducted myself in her home the same way I conduct myself in my home. I treated her home the same way I treated mine. I represent the Christianity, the lifestyle of Christ. The Christ that I serve is revealed in me through her. I mean, to her. You don't hold back stuff from people. You don't hold back their rent. because you don't like the fact that they didn't put a handicap thingamadoo in there yet. You understand what I'm saying? I leave the apartment clean. No, just a cleaning service. I don't leave it absolutely. I don't clean the shower and things like that. But there's nothing out of place. The refrigerator is emptied. Everything. So now I have my own set of keys to somebody else's condo. That may not mean anything to you, darling, but it is heap big fun to me. Because there may be times that I want to go down there and we don't have time for the mail to get me the keys. Well, all I got to do is open the drawer now and take them out. Praise God. Hallelujah. The keys of the car. I didn't ask for them. The owner suggested it to Dolores. Okay. And I just simply said, I'm in agreement with that. I don't have a problem with that at all. Favor. Provisions. Promises. But you got to have patience. She didn't give it to me the first time I was down there, or the second time, or the third time. When the Holy Spirit spoke to her, Pastor Sarah needs her own set of keys to the apartment. That tells me something, that she expects me to keep coming down there, and that tells me something, that she trusts me with her home away from home. Can people trust you with what is theirs? Because the Bible says over in Luke, I believe it is, that if you don't do that which is right by another man's, how do you ever expect to have your own? I don't want my own condo. I'd rather pay her, help her pay her mortgage and her maintenance and all. But I thought that was so neat of God. Now, see, that was one of those things that lighted me, and I can't say it was a desire of my heart to have her condo, to be able to use her condo. Because I could have gone out and gotten one myself. But God knew that I liked Ocean City. And he says, and she likes that apartment. She keeps going back to the same one. So let me just get the kid set of keys. Amen.